electronic funds transfer, do it now, or come on down and see us. Visit the station that you are now a proud part owner of.
We've only got a minute left in this segment, and we do need a couple more calls. Can you call $10 for KBOO, $10 a month? Can you support KBOO at that level? 877-500-5266. We want to thank Kim and Sandy from Northeast Portland. Said thank you for taking the front line, speaking the truth, and advocating for those that go unheard. Join Sandy and Kim and your friends and neighbors here at KBOO Community Radio and pledge your support right now. 877-500-5266. Support this radio station that provides a forum for unpopular, controversial, and neglected perspectives right here, KBOO Community Radio. 877-500-KBOO.
KBOO would like to give a special thanks to our local community partner who donated food for our volunteers today. Lunch was provided by Cafe 11, located at 435 Northeast Rosa Parks Way, a family-friendly coffee shop in the Woodlawn neighborhood of Northeast Portland. Dinner was provided by Dean Nicola's, located at 3520 Southeast Powell Boulevard in Portland, and serving Italian food for over 40 years. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 right now.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 1 p.m. And remember to support the station during our fall membership drive at kboo.fm/give or on the telephone at 877-500-5266.
All right, and we're back. Thank you for joining us on News and PA Day. I'm Zella Zellis-Marchant. I have with me somebody from Oregon Physicians for Social Responsibility. This group is guided by the values and expertise of medicine and public health. When Oregon PSR works to protect human life from the most gravest threats to health and survival by striving to end the nuclear threat, to advance environmental health, protect our climate, and promote peace. More recently, getting involved in combating the hate crimes and the atmosphere of hate in our country right now. Oregon PSR is an organization of health professionals and public health advocates, and they're working collaboratively with the community partners to educate and advocate for societal and policy change that protects human health at the local, state, and national, international level. I could go on, but I could say they're just amazing. And I have in the studio Damon Motz-Story.
Hi.
Thank you so much. We've had you on before.
That's right. Yeah.
And
it's good to be here. Thank you for having me.
It's good to have you. We've been talking about some heavy subjects.
Yeah.
But I feel like you and I you often approach this with a little bit of levity, which is important.
I think so.
The human brain needs that to absorb
information. Good for your health.
It is truly good for your health. They've proven that. We've had some clinicians on recently talking about that. So, your organization has been noticing the so-called, I say so-called because mm-hmm. we really do not have data that has tracked hate crimes.
Right.
And I want to be really explicit about that. There has never been until recently, and I can attest here in the newsroom at KBOO, the evening newsroom, that we are just have begun this year tracking hate crimes and various data that dovetails with that. I think there's a small organization called Tracking Hate that we keep tabs on that is also mm-hmm. beginning to collect this data. But there does seem to be an empowerment
mm-hmm.
that is flooding, not
yes.
just the U.S., but globally, mm-hmm. nationalism, the big F word, fascism,
mm-hmm.
and all these things. And so your organization has started to add that to the roster of let's get rid of this. So let's talk about the Organs for Immigration Reform, which has been just designated a hate group by
yeah.
the Southern Poverty Law Center. Who are they? Why are they here?
It's a really good question. Yeah. So Oregonians for Immigration Reform is a group that we have sort of seen an important angle on, because they sort of pretend to be a pro-environment group. Their tagline is that they're advocating for, quote, an environmentally sustainable level of immigration, unquote. They use that kind of greenwashing, we call it, to put sort of a happy green environmental lens on what is essentially anti-immigrant hate and bigotry. And so Oregon Physicians for Social Responsibility, that we do a lot of work to protect a healthy climate and environment, and we work with a lot of community partners to do that. And we've banded together in a coalition to address Oregonians for Immigration Reform and take a really firm stance that that's not what environmentalism is about. That really, at its heart, environmentalism is about both people and places and about the health of both of those.
This greenwashing, are you, that's a great term. I don't know if you just wanted to copyright that right now.
It's not mine.
Whether or not yours, okay, it was from somewhere else, okay.
I wish I'd thought of it, it's great.
Okay, it's great. Does that mean your group and your organization and you yourself is seeing this technique among other groups that are the alt-right or the alt-Reich, as we say colloquially at KBOO? Is that a technique you're seeing trying to convince?
I haven't seen an enormous amount of it outside of Oregonians for Immigration Reform. It might be out there. I haven't seen it personally, but this is OFER, the acronym, is the sort of biggest example of this that we've seen. So that's why we sort of feel like it's our moral prerogative to stand up to that and say, no, it doesn't matter where you were born. Your health and your access to a healthy environment matters. Mm.
So this group is masquerading clearly as some environmental organization, but they have some ulterior motives with immigration. Do they have anything that they're working towards on the ballot for 2018 or 2020? Or
they sure are. So the Oregonians for Immigration Reform is spearheading a campaign to gather signatures for something called Initiative Petition 22 or IP22. And so you may have, gone to a fair or a farmer's market and seen people gathering signatures to get something onto the ballot. This is one of those campaigns. And if they're successful, it would put a repeal of Oregon's 1987 sanctuary law onto the November 2018 ballot for Oregon. And so we are actively encouraging everyone who sees folks like this, don't sign it. A lot of people will just sign such petitions like that because they're like, oh, right, let's put it on the ballot. But we're encouraging people not to do that because it would be a really harmful ballot measure in a lot of different ways, which we can discuss more if you want.
We definitely will. Do we know what the demographic is of this hate group? It seems kind of like a large cognitive dissonance to be arriving at farmers markets and talking about environmentalism, talking to the farm industry, people who support farming, when statistics and since science show we really do rely on a lot of immigrants do that work.
Hugely so. It's my personal opinion that a lot of the greenwashing and sort of environmental masquerading is an attempt to sort of appeal at a very common Oregonian value of loving our environment and our natural beauty within the state. And so that's my opinion as to why they're trying to kind of use that message as one of their main talking points. But the demographics of Oregonians for Immigration Reform, when you do a look at what sorts of organizations they're tied to, they're connected to all kinds of national, anti-immigrant hate groups and anti-immigrant lobby groups, and they take money from some of those as well. And they're connected to folks like Sheriff Joe Arpaio, and to a number of different kind of anti-immigrant lobbies. So
how are they connected to the sheriff? I mean, in terms of just kind of exchanging information back and forth, or?
I'm, to be honest, not recalling off the top of my head exactly how the connections are there, but membership at Oregonians for Immigration Reform have various links to other, sort of folks in this anti-immigrant movement across the country. And it's the connection has been made to members of OFER and Sheriff Joe Arpaio.
So there's lots of evidence that other national hate groups are supporting that they're pushing and
absolutely. And what we're seeing is that IP22, this petition, is this tactic is coming straight out of the white supremacist neo-Nazi playbook. This is very consistent with what a lot of white supremacist and neo-Nazi groups want to see going on to ballots in different parts of the country.
So when you say playbook, are you referencing, because here we can get really specific, full disclosure, even though I wasn't born here, I grew up in the Oregon pretty much, and rurally, and there were many what we would call neo-Nazi white supremacist groups, making no bones about it, that my family was here, they didn't like it, and would talk about having a specific, as you say, playbook. There was a specific progression to say, we will infiltrate your government, we're going to flood your police officers, we're going to then go to Senate, we're going to go to House, you know, that way the government itself will right. have us there. Is that the playbook you're talking about? And where yeah. Where are you seeing that online? I mean, there's all sorts of rumors about where these tactics are being, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know, raised up and praised.
Yeah, I mean, there's a whole kind of continuum of different tactics and strategies. And one of the main ones is to try to use local law enforcement or to punish local law enforcement if they don't assist federal immigration officials in enforcing federal immigration law. That's kind of the main, one of the big tactics of sort of these white supremacist and neo-Nazi groups is wanting to see those sorts of resources, local resources, which are already quite strapped in a lot of different ways, being kind of forced into that sort of a thing. You know, a lot of what we're sort of really anticipating is that if a ballot measure like this were successful, it would allow the Trump administration to demand that local and state law enforcement officials help out with federal immigration policing. Otherwise, they could lose their funding. And so that there's a lot of kind of that sort of specter of it kind of going into everything. You know, so when you hear threats about like sanctuary law repeals, like this is sort of what it turns out to be. We saw an example of this in a couple incidences recently, one very close to home at the Washington County Courthouse. There was a Latino man who was harassed by undercover ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents, and they mistook him for somebody that they were targeting solely based on the color of his skin.
Yeah, Cedro, I remember we reported on that. We're going to take a quick break because we're just now going into the wormhole. We'll return to it. I believe we have Jinka and Per still in Membership Central.
Well, here we are. We want you to go to the phone, take that device out of your pocket, 877-500-5266, and you will get a friendly answerer who will guide you through the process of becoming a KBOO member. Like Terry from Hillsboro, who is renewing, also Ellen from Northeast Portland, and Gregory and Olga from Beaver Creek, all renewing monthly membership.
Thank you.
Terry from Hillsboro, a new member. Yes, okay. Give us a call at 877-500-5266. It is so easy, and you will be very happy when you do. You will become a sustaining member. You will sustain KBOO through its fiscal year. Keep the money flowing. Keep the news and public affairs flowing. Keep all the wonderful music coming your way. Do it now.
KBOO is really like an emergency response radio in a lot of ways. At times of crisis, like what we're finding ourselves in now, KBOO are the ones that are not afraid to take a stand and really speak to people who are investigating and analyzing the white supremacists that are growing and organizing in our area. And we are not a station that gives white supremacists a platform on the air like many other stations do. No, instead, we are the station that analyzes it at a level of what is this really about and what's going to happen? How can we organize as a community in the face of this threat that is going from a local to a national level? You rely on KBOO to take you deep inside of this and many other important issues. We do that only because we have member support. Direct member support makes up 80% of KBOO's annual operating budget. Most of that comes from people just like you, people who love the access to information, the analysis, and the music that KBOO provides and want to keep it coming. We urge you to call, and right now you will not only be having your contribution doubled when you call 877-500-5266. We can also offer you a USB flash drive for your $10 contribution. That's $10 a month for KBOO. You get a USB flash drive filled with 4 gigs of exclusive audio, and you will be entered to win a drawing for the Northwest Premier Environmental Film Festival. You will get 10 pairs of tickets to the Portland Eco Film Festival held at the Hollywood Theater starting next Thursday. That prize is offered for everyone who enters today will be entered, and everyone who calls will be entered. And you have a really good chance to win. 877-500-5266 is the number to call, and we urge you to call right now. Show your support for News and Public Affairs Day and this show and the hard work that goes into the making of this topical, very essential radio program. 877-500-5266.
All right, and we're back. Thanks, Jinka and Pear. And they are right. We couldn't do it without you. If you believe in free press, free journalism, and just plain being smart, please go to kbu.fm and click that blinking button called donate. Damon, we left off talking about these white supremacist playbook, and we were talking about how one of the tactics is that they punish law enforcement. I mean, this is problematic also because of what's been in the news concerning how law enforcement acts, behaves. That's also very racist and classist, and there's a lack of oversight here in Portland.
Right.
What are some of the ways that that police force that, I should even just get more specific and say, cities are getting punished for not abiding by the white supremacist playbook?
Well, at this point, I mean, we're kind of in a preventative phase right now. Like, we're trying to prevent it. At this point in time, we have this great law that was passed in 1987 that really limits our local law enforcement from enforcing federal immigration law. And we have folks like Sheriff Mike Reese of the Multnomah County Sheriff's Department, who is really been a very active and vocal figure in the fight against Oregonians for immigration reform and against IP22 and the sort of the white supremacist and neo-Nazi sentiments around sort of harassing people based on their color of skin. So he's been really standing up and going firm on that. And so, you know, at this point in time, what we're seeing is we don't want to be associated with any measure that would risk that protection that we currently have from law enforcement getting into this sort of stuff. And that way we can focus more on what, you know, something that really also needs to be focused on, which is strengthening accountability and community safety. So
I wanted to circle back. We were talking between the pitch break about Attorney General Rosenblum is going to be on, and you got to also hear her speak at the, was it a DACA rally?
Yeah, DACA press release DACA on press the day that the announcement came forward. Yeah.
And there's a lawsuit. I don't know whether we really touched on that or not, and she's involved in that. Can you tell our audience about that lawsuit more?
Yeah, so there's you know, been a number of people that are sort of trying to, a number of state attorney generals who are sort of standing up and saying that no, it really is within our constitutional rights to you know, keep protections of immigrants in a whole host of ways. And so Attorney General Rosenblum has been really active in that struggle. And we're really grateful that she has used her stance to argue for that. So
us too. It's been refreshing, to say the least. Let's go into tying back into Isidro, which we did report on also. We've been following since January, the different raids coming out of the ICE, and so had received reports of courthouses being stalked by, you know, it's murky. From the ACLU, they're saying definitely ICE agents, agents working complicitly with them, and they are plain clothes. They're not required to wear anything. They're not required, you know, they don't show badges. And so Isidro was just there accompanying his wife at the Washington County Courthouse on Monday when Jeff Sessions was in town. And they were rushed. And we played audio from that by several people. You know, I think it was four to six people. Yeah. How is this affecting public health and safety? I mean, that seems like an obtuse question, but let's get down to it.
No, it's a really good question because it's absolutely hitting on a very important subject, which is that when you have incidents like this happening, it really deeply erodes the community's trust in our institutions. Courthouses need to be these safe places to be able to go to in order to engage in various civic processes. And when we see things like, you know, folks, you know, converging on, you know, the wrong guy, even, you know, just looking at how he looks as a basis for coming in on him like that, like, that's really, I mean, I was watching the coverage of it also. It's pretty terrifying stuff. I can't imagine being in that situation myself. And so, you know, beyond just the sort of the personal, just like terrifyingness of that feeling targeted like that, it also means that there are a lot of families and community members who think twice before accessing local institutions to receive medical treatment, for example. Another story that broke this week was about an immigrant family in Texas who were seeking a life-saving surgery for their 2-month-old son. And they were arrested by Immigration and Customs Enforcement in the process of seeking that medical treatment. And so when we see things like this, this is really directly harming individual and family health. And it affects a wider, broader community public health because a lot of public health really depends upon people seeking treatment early and often. And if there's not any, if there's not trust in institutions locally, then there's, it's really hard for a community to have, you know, various immunizations like that. So,
how, and maybe just overwhelming just to hear about it.
Yeah,
how is it that the agents and their supporters can just stand outside the Washington County Courthouse or the Multnomah County Courthouse? How is that even possible? Is there anything that is, you know, protects people from, I mean, it's harassment, clearly.
Right. Well, we saw a lot of protections in the Obama administration from various places like that, from immigration officials from being able to go into places like that. And a lot of that has been rolled back in the Trump administration. And now, you know, there have been announcements coming out from immigration enforcement officials saying that even if you don't have a criminal record, you're still a potential target. And so that's in the instance of the family in Texas, they didn't have a criminal record. You know, they were undocumented, but they had no other, you know, nothing on their criminal record that would indicate that they'd be like a primary. So we've seen rhetoric in the past about how only criminals are going to be deported and all that, and you know that has all been rolled back, and it's sort of open season, and so that's what's really scary.
I like the phrasing rolled back. However, I keep thinking, was there ever any clear policy to begin with? I don't think that rhetoric is a really good word, because although. Inward, it's been, well, if you have a criminal record and it's minor, then you'll be a target. But
right. What's
happening now is clearly illegal, is it not? Just staking out
right, and that's
places of public safety and health and justice,
yeah. And
just looking for black and brown people and then apprehended them and apologizing later.
Well, and that's another really good point, which is that there's a lot of very constitutionally questionable stuff going on right now. And what we've seen is a whole lot of things that have been overturned from the Trump administration by various courts because of sort of the questionable legality of a lot of these actions. Senate Bill 4 in Texas is another good example of that, of a bill very similar to SB 1070 in Arizona that was that has been, you know, taken to the courts and said, "Woo, this is really constitutionally iffy here." And you know, we've also seen this with the Muslim ban and things like that. Is that there are courts across the country rising up and saying, "Whoa, hold on, this is not with the Constitution," and really challenging the legality of a lot of these things. So you're right. I think it also is important to remember also that Obama was the deporter in chief. You know, there were more deportations under the Obama administration than any other president in our history.
Yes, statistically, that is completely true. So with these lawsuits, do you think then, and what's your organization's stance on the hope of protecting sanctuary city status, protecting people from harassment and all these situations? Clearly, a lot of states aren't happy with the president-elect. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are not, I would dare say the majority. Do you think that we can rely on these lawsuits to truly resist the regime we have going on here in the U.S.? Is that really going to protect us?
I think it takes all kinds of efforts on all kinds of fronts to make sure that we can protect community safety. And one of the things that I would encourage any listeners who are tuning in right now is to, you know, don't be associated with any of this stuff coming out of the white supremacist and neo-Nazi movement. If you see somebody gathering signatures for IP22, at a community fair or something like that, you can, you know, talk to people, talk to your family, talk to your cousins who live in rural Oregon or something like that, you know, and have those conversations around saying, hey, this is not what we as Oregonians stand for. This is not what we're about. We don't want to be associated with this, and this isn't something we want to go forward with. And that kind of a community response can make sure that things like this sanctuary repeal petition never gets onto the ballot.
There's some very good points. For now, we're going to go to our other special guests, Jinka and Pear, who are working hard to let you know how awesome of a resource KBOO is. We couldn't do it without you. Damon and I certainly could not be doing it without you and your support. Jinka and Pear, take it away.
Well, you are listening to KBOO during this, our fall membership drive, and this is a very special day because it's News and Public Affairs Day. You rely on KBOO to take you deep inside of important issues on a daily basis. Now we're asking you to dig deep. And dig deep into your pocketbook. Can you give $10 a month or $20 a month to support this effort? If you can make it up to $25 a month, we can offer you the KBOO hoodie. That is a hoodie you can stay warm in through this weather. Wrap yourself up in community radio love. You wear that around town. This is the only place that you can get it. So when you see people wearing that KBOO hoodie, you know that they're a part of this KBOO community. And Sam is showing his off in the air room right now as he's punching the buttons on the board to make this all happen. He's got the KBOO hoodie. And you could have yours, a $25 a month contribution to KBOO. Really isn't that much to ask when you think about the value that you get from community radio. Again, the number to call, 877-500-5266. Call right now and make your money double. KBOO has some generous donors who are going to double your contribution for News and Public Affairs Day. Yeah. Your contribution will be matched. You hear the folks in the back waiting for your call, waiting for those phones to ring up and light up, and they will be very, very happy to explain to you the benefits of KBOO membership. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. Don't wait. Do it now.
Yes, we have some people to thank. I want to thank John from Vancouver, who is renewing. Wayne from Amboy, who is renewing. And Nicole from Northeast Portland, who is renewing. Thank you, one and all. You are proud members of the KBOO family, the family of truth, the family of love, the family of wonderful feelings. Give us a call, 877-500-5266. Join the family or come on down here to 8020 Southeast 8th, just off of Burnside, little building with a nice mural in front. Come and see the station that you are now a part owner of. It is yours, folks. You can be part of the station as much as you want to be. You can vote in the board elections. You can run for the board. You can serve on committees. You can take free radio courses. Learn all about radio production. Where else can you get a bargain like this? 877-500-5266.
And you know, the real the other way you can give is going online, kboo.fm. And we're talking about the benefits you can get from your KBOO membership. You can get the hoodie. You can get the exclusive audio flash drive, a USB drive filled with 4 gigs of MP3s of exclusive KBOO audio. And that's a $10 contribution. That's $10 a month. What you get, or what KBOO gets for your membership, if you give that $10 a month, it produces a week's worth of KBOO news in depth, and investigative segment that airs 5 times a week. You know, a $60 membership, $5 a month, connects 60 people to KBOO through our free mobile app for a year. We don't charge for the mobile app. All we ask is for people to voluntarily subscribe. And yes, people keep doing it. All we have to do is give you this little reminder on the airwaves a couple of times a year, and people step up to the challenge every single time we ask. It's amazing how this experiment in community radio that Lou Hill started way back in the early 1960s, and nobody thought that people would actually voluntarily contribute to a radio station to keep it going and keep it open for the community, but yet it has continued, and it has worked, and it continues to work because people like you decide, yes, I can do $10 a month and I can support my community and reinvest back out of this corporate oligarchy into my community. This effort here at KBOO is part of that liberatory movement for a better world. You can be part of it right now. Call 877-500-5266. Go online, kboo.fm. Do it right now.
Well, we might ask, do people voluntarily listen to minutes and minutes of horrible commercials or corporate propaganda or government propaganda? No, because they have no place else to go, so they think. But there is another place to go. It is right here at 20 Southeast 8. It is KBOO. It is your radio station. It is a radio station that you keep on the air by donating your money, by donating your time and love and efforts. We keep keep this station going. We've been on for almost 50 years now, speaking truth, speaking a different point of view, speaking to the people who count in this world, not the high mucky mucks, but all the rest of us.
Hold those high mucky mucks to account here.
Yes, we will.
Hold their feet to the fire and really give them the questions that the other media does not dare to ask for
fan
some odd
flames.
Reason. We are here doing this, speaking truth to power every single day, and we do this because of your support. This is News and Public Affairs Day, very, very important day to give, and if you've been holding out, you've been hearing us appeal over the last several days, and you've been maybe thinking about it, you picked up your phone a couple of times and almost made that call, no, don't hesitate, do it now. Not only will you be able to get the KBOO hoodie as your thank you, you will be entered to win in a drawing for 10 pairs of tickets to the Portland Eco Film Festival held at the Hollywood Theater that starts next Thursday. Winona LaDuke is going to be in attendance that first night. And you can call right now, be entered to win, pick up a prize, and be an owner of this radio station, 877-500-5266. Again, that number, 877-500-KBOO.
Thank you, Jenkin Pair, so very much. And they are right. We, again, couldn't do it without you. You are actually the media. You are a part of us. We couldn't do it without you. Please go to kbo.fm and click donate. Damon, we were talking about different administrations feeding into each other, and specifically about when it comes to numbers of the immigration issues we're facing. The Obama administration laid a really great yellow brick road for that. Can you elaborate on that? I would dare say most know, but then we can't be too sure, can we?
That's true. Yeah, so like I said, that really it's true that deportation numbers during the Obama administration were, you know, record highs in our history. And I think that one of the really important things to call out is that a lot of this anti-immigrant sentiment is not new. I mean, we remember that Trump came down during his campaign and on that elevator, that ridiculous speech about how Mexico is not bringing their best into our country, and it's very true that there's a whole lot of rhetoric going on right now and a lot of emboldening of white supremacy right now, but this stuff has not gone away. It's been around, and I think one of the most important things we can do is look back at the history and the timeline of Oregon. Specifically, to see that all of these dots are kind of connected, and that we had one of the highest per capita memberships in the Ku Klux Klan in Oregon, that we had, of course, the law that meant that you couldn't stay overnight if you were a black person inside of the state that mm-hmm. was, you know, stuck around for a horrifically mm-hmm. long amount of time in our state. So I think it's really important to remember that this isn't new, and that what we're seeing with the emboldening of white supremacy and neo-Nazi movements right now is sort of the latest thing the latest sort of increase in volatility, but it's not by any means the emergence of a lot of these issues. So I'm really glad that you mentioned that. That's a good point.
I'm glad that you mentioned. Thank you for making that clear. I think although it's been more in the news lately, it bears repeating. These things do trickle down. What would happen if Oregon didn't have sanctuary cities? What would that look like? You've talked a little bit about thinned resources, resources that we have that are already thin.
Mm-hmm.
What would it look like? Paint a picture.
Well, I think it's really important to acknowledge that there's a great deal of economic anxiety in our communities already. I mean, we've seen some interesting local stuff around school funding, getting just the lead out of Portland Public School water, making sure that our schools have enough money to be able to do what they need to do. So already on a local level, we're seeing a lot of this anxiety on the family and community level. And if IP22, the repeal of the sanctuary law on the state level, were to succeed, it would divert a lot of local and state law enforcement who are already strapped for resources away from community safety in order to enforce federal immigration laws, and then have the threat of even further reduced funding if they weren't to comply with those targetings. So that's really a huge piece of the puzzle here is that, you know, we are already very strapped for resources in a lot of ways, and this would just be kind of another way of moving our local and state law enforcement into a direction that we don't need them to be moving. We need them to move away from that. that kind of targeting.
So IP22, it would specifically have in it a policy that would punish cities and officers? Or?
Oh, I want to be clear. It does not, actually, but it could pave the way for that. And really what we're seeing is that the trend is it would allow Trump to demand local law enforcement to do to assist federal and law and immigration enforcement. But that's not actually a part of the ballot measure itself.
I see. It's a convenient loophole. So what it could do is divert already the resources we have towards really nefarious immigration.
It would really pave the way. It would really set up a foundation for that. Yeah.
How can we best prepare? I mean, I don't think that gets asked a whole lot. I think it's really difficult for a lot of us to think about it. But we're here. We're in a period of time where it's not safe, where if you remotely look a certain way, somebody not only will judge you for that, whether they're aware of that or not, but it could very well just get you thrown into an unmarked vehicle.
Yeah.
How can people prepare? I know that your organization is doing a lot of work to make people, to bring awareness to people about situations, bills like IP22.
Mm-hmm.
How can we prepare, first at a grassroots level?
Mm-hmm. I think one of the strongest things that we can do is get into a way of thinking that embraces community safety and a community sense of neighborliness, really kind of a neighborly readiness to protect one another. One of the ways that we can see this is to just reach out to the people who are in your neighborhood and talk to people, make connections with folks, and support each other. Because if institutions are not trustable and not trustworthy, then you may need to turn to other networks of support, like your neighborhood and the other folks who have kids at your same school or something like that. And so being, really approachable and available for folks is, I think, a really powerful way that you can sort of change your day-to-day routine and support people who need it the most. I should mention, by the way, that our work on stopping IP22 and counteracting the greenwashing message from Oregonians for Immigration Reform is a part of a broader coalition of environmental groups that have joined a coalition called One Oregon. So that's really an important piece of this all, is that we are following the leadership of immigrant rights organizations like CAUSA Oregon, that is one of the leads of the One Oregon Coalition. So that's another really important thing, is to trust and follow the leadership of the most of people who are most in touch with what marginalized communities need.
For those listeners out there that don't know who One Oregon is, can you go into that coalition some more?
Absolutely. So we joined this coalition sort of in direct response to a lot of the emboldening of white supremacy and neo-Nazism in Portland and in the wider country overall, because we think that it's really important for us to add our history of being an environmental group and of being a public health group to the table of sort of talking about protecting the health of all Oregonians, regardless of where they were born. The coalition is enormous. If you Google it, One Oregon, you can find a list of the various community groups that are involved.
CASA, obviously, are there other Oregon groups that you can list? It does sound like a huge, exhaustive list, and I will Google it later. who else is involved?
In the environmental committee of the group, there are groups like the Oregon chapter of the Sierra Club, the Oregon League of Conservation Voters, Climate Solutions, and the Oregon Environmental Council.
So there's many chapters in this coalition. Can you name them off? There's obviously an environmental one. Is there one dedicated squarely to the white supremacist issues we're talking about today, or?
A lot of them are more kind of grouped by teams of people who are working on communications, right? So like Basic Rights Oregon is, a real powerhouse on that sort of thing, and they're involved in the communications. The reason we have a specific environmental committee is because of the greenwashing messaging of Oregonians for Immigration Reform. So that's what I know best. But there's a lot of different stuff going on.
That's great.
So
what is your group then, as you're contending with concerning OFER, are they aware, I'm sure by now, that you're not happy about what they're doing, and a lot of people aren't happy.
Oh, yeah.
What kind of opposition has your organization faced?
So the Oregon Sierra Club and the Oregon League of Conservation Voters authored an op-ed in the Oregonian a while ago that Oregon Physicians for Social Responsibility signed off on as well. We're not listed on it because you can only have a certain number of authors, but they published an op-ed that talked about how anti-immigrant sentiment has no room in the environmental movement and in our state. So OFER then responded to that, and then a wave of more respondents came forward and said, no, you know, you're not getting out of this so easily. And we're actually very grateful to Oregon State Representative Diego Hernandez, who got a rebuttal in that was really powerful in counteracting OFER's response.
Out of curiosity, even though I'm pretty confident I might know the answer, what was the rebuttal exactly?
Basically talking about some very tired and there's no factual basis for a lot of the claims in it, but a lot of very tired arguments about how influx of population into our state is bad for our environment, but that's been disproven, and it doesn't hold any water. So
you know, the toxic human theory, like because we're toxic, then the more people we have around,
exactly,
will produce more toxicity. So let's just quarantine some people. Really, that basic of an argument,
right? So it's pretty ludicrous. And again, we're grateful for Diego Hernandez's response to it, which was really solid. But basically, the message we want to send is that Oregon is a welcoming place, and I think really that's what a lot of our members want to make sure is well known, is that this is a welcoming place, and you can come be a part of the movement for climate justice, and it doesn't matter where you're coming from.
Well, with that, we are going to take another short break and head back to our other very special guests, Jinka and Pear, who are fighting the good fight, representing for us. Take it away.
Well, here we are. I am Pear, and I'm here with Jinka, and we are fighting the good fight, talking the good talk. We are asking for a few or more good people to come to the defense and aid of KBOO. This is your radio station, folks. This is your presence on the airwaves. We don't represent corporate big shots. We don't represent repressive governments. We represent you. We are you, and you are us. Come on down to 20 Southeast 8th. Come on and see our modest little operation. Meet the friendly people here, or give us a call at 877-500-5266.
And we don't do this alone. We do this only together, because together we are strong. Individually, each of us could be broken, but together we are impossible to break, because we are a force to be reckoned with. And I urge you to be a part of that force. You can give at the $10 a month level. If you could do $10 for KBOO every month, we'll give you a USB drive filled with exclusive audio going back to 1968 until today. In addition to that audio, we also have a folder of open source software, Internet Security Toolkit, which includes the Tor browser, KeePass for a TrueCrypt cloud storage, and instructions on that, and GPG email encryption software in order to protect yourself in this era. That can be yours in addition to all of this audio that you can share with anyone you like. It is yours to keep and share, and that could be yours in addition to the gift of giving KBOO community member can engage in creative sound expression with KBOO's introductory audio production class. Your $120, $10 a month membership makes that happen for a volunteer to be able to go through that training program. Every contribution is used here at the station. We don't have a big administrative overhead. It is used, goes right back into the community. You rely on KBOO to take you deep inside the issues, and we rely on you to dig deep and give $10 a month. If that doesn't work, $5 a month. Or maybe you're someone who could do a $2,000 gift and go and join Amy Goodman for dinner in New York City and see her show in action. If you're a fan of public affairs, that's a really good way to make a real deep investment in your community. We want to thank Hank from Underwood, Washington for renewing continuing that support as we hear about the Physicians for Social Responsibility, the One Oregon Coalition, CAUSA, and many, many groups coming together to fight the right-wing white supremacist attacks on communities of color right here in our state and in our town. If you can support this radio, it is so essential right now. There is not another station on the airwaves that's doing the work that we do, community organizing, solidarity, and bringing together groups to make a difference and make an impact. This is civic engagement at its finest. We want you to get engaged. Can you do $10 a month? Call right now. Help us reach our goal. Your contribution will be doubled. 877-500-5266. 877-500-KABOO.
And for $10 a month, you can become a time traveler with a USB flash drive. You can go back in time. You can hear Ken Kesey at Powell's in 1992. You can hear Paul Robeson in 1957. Daniel Berrigan in 1976. That is yours for $10 a month. And then you can safely land back in the present day with a talk by Glenn Greenwald, who is right up to date. He is ahead of us, folks. He is further up to date than anybody else. Glenn Greenwald is on this thing, too. So be part of the time travel. The past bleeds into the future, and we are all us. We are the force that makes this station go. We keep the station operating in a weird corporate atmosphere, a weird political atmosphere. Do it now. 877-500-5266.
And then we're back. Thank you. Thank you so much, Per, for setting us up. It is civic engagement. This is what you're listening to. You are a part of us every day. You tune in every time you listen. So show us you love us. Go to kboo.fm and click the wonderful button that is flashing at you saying donate. So, Damon, we've been covering a lot of ground.
We sure have.
A lot of ground. Let's shift down just a little bit. Not a whole lot, just a little bit. Let's talk about Portland Stands. The Portland Stands United Forum, which I think is incredibly important.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to tell our listeners what
it's
about?
So last time I was on KBOO, it was to talk about a rally and march against white nationalism on September 10th. It was a really interesting day, but the really important thing is that over 1,000 people came out in support of showing a really strong message against white supremacy and neo-Nazism in our city. And I'm really proud of all the people who showed out to really make that message of inclusivity and diversity clear. A lot of what's on people's mind right now is like, what can we be doing about people who are marching in our streets? So the Portland Stands United Against Hate group coalition, of which we are part of, is doing a forum in late October. The details are still all being ironed out. I think it'll be a really good opportunity to discuss as a community how we can be addressing the sort of emboldening and rise of white supremacy in our city and in our state.
So it'll be more like an open forum like a town hall. Can you describe the format?
Yeah, it's going to be kind of a forum with their various breakouts and workshops and things like that. And folks are invited to come and engage and in whatever way feels best for them.
Oh, that's great. So are there going to be specific lectures too, or who's facilitating? Is there anybody?
Again, a lot of this is sort of still being worked out, but
okay.
There's over...
Just curious.
Yeah, totally. There's over 80 different organizations involved. And so
okay.
I think it's going to be a really diverse leadership on the different workshops.
Good. No pressure. I just get activist lust sometimes. I
know.
Want to know who's there.
Totally.
Let's go into what your organization, other projects that your organization is doing. Obviously, fighting IP22, which needs to happen. What
mm-hmm,
else?
Mm-hmm. Well, if you're available tonight or tomorrow night, we are involved in something pretty darn cool. It's a musical event called Notes from the River Keepers, 7:30 p.m. Tonight, September 22nd, and tomorrow, September 23rd, at the Headwaters Theater in Northeast Portland on 55 Northeast Farragut Street. This is a really cool event. I think it really speaks to something I hold dear, which is that it's really important to include art in activism and to have a little bit of fun on a weekend night to go out and engage in a really in a cool and a beautiful artistic way. So this is a really the premiere of Holcomb Waller's musical homily around oil trains in our region. So, of course, many listeners will remember the oil train derailment in Mosier in the summer of 2016, and how close that derailment came to a school, and how much of a public health threat fossil fuels are, both with their impact on climate change, but also the direct impact of having coal and oil trains coming through our communities. It's our business, you know, mm-hmm. and it's affecting people mm-hmm. right here and now, as well as contributing to climate chaos. So again, that's tonight and tomorrow, 7:30 p.m. You can get tickets and find more information at OregonPSR.org.
That sounds wonderful. Sounds wonderful. So we've got a couple more minutes. I think now we should turn the spotlight on you as we're wrapping up. Like, how sure. did you get involved in Oregon Physicians for Social Responsibility? How did you hear about it? What made you decide, yes, this is the place for me, this is where it's at?
Yeah, great question. So I grew up actually in Denver, Colorado, and in the foothills nearby. Went to college out at Haverford College in Philadelphia. And was really involved with a number of different Quaker social justice movements there. I was born and raised Quaker, and through my involvements with various Quaker stuff, you know, the Quakers are historically well known for their work on slavery abolition, but also prison reform in the modern era and in sanctuary coalition work in various cities across the country. And so I was involved with a lot of different Quaker activism, and I discovered this thing called the Quaker Voluntary Service, which is a little bit like an AmeriCorps year or something like that. And it paired me up with Oregon Physicians for Social Responsibility, and I got to do a year of service for PSR, and now I'm working for them full-time as a staff member representing 2,000 health professionals from across the state.
That's so incredible. I don't know whether you told me you're a Quaker before. I had no idea.
Yeah.
I also... I had no idea there was that many Quakers in Denver. Call me prosaic. I don't know. Well, I was
like, it's not one of the major religions in Denver, okay. but they're small and mighty.
Okay. I was feeling like, wow, I've definitely gone to Denver before. I uh-huh. didn't notice any Quakers, but I wasn't really looking for Quakers. So that's really wonderful. So do you have to be a physician to be this kid?
No, you don't. And in fact, I'm not a health professional, but I work very hard to find organizing and activism opportunities for health professionals to use their voice, which is really powerful and unique. Because there are so many issues like gun violence and the threat of nuclear war and climate change and environmental degradation that really are public health issues but aren't seen that way very often. And so we think that there's a really incredible opportunity for people like me with organizing experience to be able to provide platforms for health professionals to use their voice and make a difference in those fields.
That is so very wonderful. So if somebody's interested in joining PSR, do they just go to the website and
yep.
write somebody? And
there's a join button on the website, OregonPSR.org, and we can get you looped in. You can send us an email as well if you're interested in joining one of our particular programs, of which I just mentioned. And yeah, it's a really amazing opportunity for you to use your voice. Even if you're not a health professional, you can join in and use that very compelling framework of public health to work on these issues.
Wonderful. So we've just got about a minute. Do you want to tell our audience one more time as we close mm-hmm. About the forum, where they can, where it's at, when, and also the event tonight?
Mm-hmm. So the forum is happening in late October. It's Portland Stands United Against Hate. So just keep, you can follow their Facebook page, Portland Stands United Against Hate, to keep in the loop about that. And then this evening and tomorrow night is the Holcomb Waller Notes from the River Keepers event at the Headwaters Theater, 55 Northeast Farragut Street.
Awesome. Well, Damon, it's a pleasure as always. Thank you so very much for all the work that you do. And thank you so very much for coming on KBOO and breaking the silence for the world and helping to keep people informed. Thank you for
thank
everything.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
All right.
Thank you.
And now we go back to Jinka and Pear. Like I said, our other two very special, hardworking guests who are hopefully enticing you to support all this free press and journalism that you're hearing. Definitely show them and us your love. Show us your love by going to kbu.fm and clicking donate. Jinka and Pear?
Yeah, thank you. And we're hearing about Portland Stands United Against Hate. Actually a part of that coalition. I think the only radio station that is a part of Portland Stands United Against Hate. And it's very important that we hear these voices and that we connect to each other and that we organize and use the radio as an organizing tool. Other stations use it as a manipulative tool. KBOO uses it in solidarity, unity, civic engagement and community gathering place. Call right now. Support this radio station. In the next 7 minutes, help us reach our goal. And we just need, I think, one more person to give $10 a month. $10 will get you that KBOO USB drive as a thank you, get you entered into the drawing for the Northwest Eco Film Festival, and we'll get you the benefits of being a KBOO member. Call right now. In the next 7 minutes, support this program. Have your contribution doubled by a generous donor. 877-500-5266. My name is Jenka. I'm happy to be here with Pear. You can come down and meet us, 20 Southeast 8th, if you prefer to do it that way. Important thing is that you become a member or renew your membership today on News and Public Affairs Day.
Well, you know, there are really immense other benefits, psychological benefits, by being a KBOO member. You know that you are not just a kind of a dispensable person to be used up and cast aside by the corporate machine. You are a person with power and investment with others. You, together with others, can stand up and fight back. You can do your own radio. You can make your voice heard if you do, if you put your mind to it and lend your effort and your dollars. $10 a month will get all kinds of benefits to KBOO and to you. You will get this USB drive with a whole bunch of history in one little compact drive that you can dip into anytime you want. You can go back to 1967 and hear Dick Gregory. You can hear Stokely Carmichael, Kwame Ture in 1973. You can hear John Trudell and Vandana Shiva. They are still with, some of them are still with us. Or you can go to the present and the future with Glenn Greenwald and Noam Chomsky. This is all yours for $10 a month. 877-500-5266. It is so easy. $10 a month out of your credit union account into ours, and you know that you are sustaining KBOO. You know that you will be a member as long as you want to be, and you can set the amount for whatever you desire. 877-500-5266.
We know that you listening as a KBOO listener, our supporters are kind and generous people, powerful people who really appreciate taking a stand and caring about the world that we live in, trying to make this world a better place, being active in the community. Does that describe you? Are you yet a KBOO member? If you are not, do it now, because there has never been a better time to give. If you have not yet done so, try it out and see how it feels. You will be an owner of this radio station, and you could give maybe an hour's wage a month. If you make $15 an hour, you could do a $15 a month contribution to KBOO. If you make $20 an hour, you could do a $20 a month contribution to KBOO, and that will be your KBOO power hour that you can listen to and know that this is the hour that you own on the radio airwaves. Or maybe you're not having a good hour at work and you're thinking to yourself, you know what? I'm giving this hour to KBOO, so it's okay. I'm contributing back and reinvesting in my community with this hour of my time, and that is okay. 877-500-5266. Your contribution, your $10 membership in KBOO, mentors a youth collective member for 4 hours a month, trains a volunteer on how to engineer a broadcast journalism program, and make space for 3 community leaders to talk about their work on air on the KBOO Evening News. This is what your contribution goes to here at KBOO, and we urge you to call right now, and we just need one more person to do that $10 contribution, and we will reach our goal for this hour. Is it you? Are you going to be the hero for News and Public Affairs Day here on KBOO? Pear and I are going to make space for somebody else to come into these seats, and we want to get those phones ringing in these last few minutes that we're sitting here. 877-500-5266.
You know, a word in parting. You know, the high and the mighty, the so-called masters of the universe, they think they are running things, although their power seems to be slipping lately. But the little secret is they need us more than we need them.
The masters of
war. That is it. We are together. We are powerful. We need to get together, work together, battle together. There's all sorts of ways you can do that. And one of the best is at KBOO, your radio station owned and operated by you. We broadcast the truth to the world. 877 877- 500-5266. Give us a call. Become a sustaining member. Sustain KBOO for another 50 years. It has been on for almost 50 years now because we have a little a business plan. We have a good strategy where people can do radio on their own. They do not need the permission or the consent of the corporate masters or the government bureaucrats. We can do it all by ourselves. Give us a call, 877-5266.
What's really cool is KBOO is like a model of the world that we want to live in, where we're democratically owned and operated, we are horizontally organized, and we are open to anybody who wants to be a part of it. So this is a really cool community. Come down and check us out, 20 Southeast 8th. If you could do $10 a month, we're just waiting for that last call so we can get to our next segment and get this program to reach the goal for this hour. Just one more call, 877-500-5266. Your contribution will be doubled. You'll get the USB drive filled with audio, and you will be entered to win 10 pairs of tickets to the Portland Eco Film Festival. You can have a party over there and see Winona LaDuke, see those films next week at the Hollywood Theater here in Portland. The number to call, 877-500-5266. We just need one more call to make our goal. It can be you. I hope that it will be you. You may have been waiting. Now is the time to do it. Now you have heard us many times over the last few days. Now you can just stop waiting, stop procrastinating, and do it and be a part of your community. Engage in community radio right now and be an owner of this station. 877-500-5266. Show how much you care about the world that we live in, about the future generations, about the fact that we need democracy on the airwaves. We don't want another corporate station to take over 90.7. No, we want KBOO Community Radio to remain strong and robust on the airwaves for another 50 years. 877-500-5266. Again, that number, 877-500-KBOO, is the number to call to support this radio station. We want more KBOO. We know that 80,000 people are listening every week and only about 6,000 are members. So if we could just get everybody to give $10 a month as a membership, boy, what an impact we could have if we had everybody who listened contributing. Call right now, 877-500-5266.
Well, give us a call. Keep this station on the air. It is your station, folks, as long as you want to have it. And the way to make your power felt is contribute your money and your time and effort. You, too, can be part of this wonderful enterprise. 877-500-5266.
If you give a $1,000 membership, you can promote a nonprofit grassroots organization through our co-sponsorship program. And that is a real benefit that KBOO has in our connection to the community and the many, many hundreds